On today's episode of 23's The Mic, we recap the NFL's Week 1. We'll get into our great performances of the week in the good, the bad, and the ugly, and we'll dive into what the Bears' outlook is for the rest of the season. Let's go. Welcome into 23's The Mic, everybody. So glad that you are with us. It is Nadim, your host, at NadimN22 on Instagram. You can find us at 23's The Mic on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, at 23's The Mic on Instagram as well. For our quarterback rankings, our first edition of the season's quarterback rankings will be released tomorrow. We're super excited to get into that. It's going to be super testy. We had some great performances. We want to get into all the action from week one. We got Matt Nagy's press conference. That was super hilarious to listen to. And we have our good, the bad, and the ugly for this week, but just wanted to welcome you guys in. How about that week one? It was great to have NFL football back. I personally sat on my couch from 12 to about 10 to 11 p.m. On Sunday, took in all the action or most of it. Red Zone, Cardinals, Titans on the first TV for the first slate of games, and then I had Browns, Chiefs. What a great game that was. That was probably the game of the week, if not for yesterday. And the Raiders and the Ravens just tearing down the house, a barn burner in Las Vegas for their first home opener in their new stadium. It was great to see everybody back in the stands across the league. And what a weird, let's just start with there. What a weird sequence of events that led to the Raiders win. It started off with a pretty mediocre offense for the first three quarters that kind of turned up. The Ravens kept them in this game. They weren't putting the game away at all in any shape or form. And the Raiders took advantage. They scored a touchdown with 6 minutes left. The Ravens then went down and kicked a field goal, which for what we thought was the game winner with 40 seconds left. And Derek Carr made two phenomenal throws. The second one, I think it was to Bryan Edwards, was a laser beam. And Daniel Carlson, huge 55-yard field goal for the tie, sent it to overtime. Raiders won the toss, and the Ravens defense looked gassed. And we saw it on the Hunter Renfrow play when Marlon Humphrey pulled an Eddie Jackson and just missed tackled. I've seen a lot of missed tackles around the league. Week one, rust, hopefully. That's all it is. We'll get into that later with the Bears. And they pushed the ball downfield, and then Derek Carr threw on third down. He threw up a prayer to Bryan Edwards, makes the catch, reaches out for the goal line. It's ruled a touchdown. They start celebrating on the field. Everyone's going crazy. Then go to review. He's short of the goal line. They should be able to punch it in from the one. What happens? They don't on the first possession or on the first play. It's a QB sneak by Carr. He doesn't get in. The next play, a false start. Two incomplete passes, and then on the second incomplete pass, I believe it was tipped off of the helmet of Deshaun Elliott, intercepted in the end zone by the Ravens. So a complete 180, which was crazy for me. It was one of the most epic choke jobs, or what could have been most epic choke job if the Ravens were to drive down the field and score. That did not end up being the case. Lamar Jackson fumbled the ball. Carl Nassib recovered, and that was all she wrote, because Derek Carr on what was one of the best play calls. I mean, everyone hates on John Gruden a lot. He was given a 10-year, $100 million deal when he joined the Raiders to come back from the to come out of the broadcast booth. But that call on second down, they had gotten a false start penalty. They're in field goal range, easy chip shot field goal. Instead of just kicking it there, they wanted the 5 yards back. And everyone and their mom thought that there was a run. The Ravens defense completely sold out on the run. And Marlon Humphrey, or Derek Carr, drops back like 10 yards, heaves up a prayer to a wide-open Zay Jones. Marlon Humphrey was in coverage and got picked by his own teammate on the play. It was a brilliant call, fooled everybody. That was one of the first times in a long time that I have been just completely dumbfounded on a play call. Like, it was that good. So it was great to see that. The game was great. Lamar was a little disappointing, but you know what? We have a lot worse in the league in terms of the high talented quarterbacks at the top. So Lamar was, I think it was just some rust that they needed to shake off. They also lost J.K. and Gus Edwards, so that's not going to be easy to come back from. Looking elsewhere in the league, let's do the Bears preview, or the outlook, I should say. So, obviously, I kind of wanted to get week one under the belt before I did the preview, kind of just to see where things are shaping up at. I kind of had faith that, I guess it was blind faith and dumb faith, but I thought that this year would be a little different with the primetime games especially, but it was very much the same kind of recipe for it. They drafted Justin Fields, and Justin Fields is huge to lift up a franchise, really. I think he's that caliber of a quarterback. And then we have David Montgomery in year two. I think he's going to be the bell cow back. That's pretty much what Sunday indicated. He was probably the best player on offense. Probably one of the only few good bright spots of that game. Jalen Johnson is our CB1. He's in his second year. And I just, this secondary is so atrocious. The roster makeup for the secondary is so bad that he doesn't have any help behind him. There's no Desmond Trufant there. Kyle Fuller was cut. The secondary corner on the other side of the field complimenting Jalen Johnson is Kendall Wilder. And, you know, the fact that I mess up his name just tells the whole story. You know, they have Duke Shelley as their slot corner. I mean, these are guys that would be on the practice squad on some teams. So that is a huge, huge issue. The other issue I saw on the roster, just based on the makeup of it, was there's five tight ends, and that is completely unnecessary, especially due to the fact that not only did Jason Peters go down in week one against the Rams on the left side of the offensive line, the offensive tackle, Larry Borum, who we picked in the fifth round, also went down, and you had Elijah Wilkinson step in there and do a pretty good job against what was a pretty formidable defensive front for the Rams. They were getting back there, but Andy Dalton, props to him, a quick release time. The Bears do end up losing the game. It was 34-14, so nothing crazy competitive. But for what seemed like a very similar game plan to last year, where your defense basically lifts up your team, carries them through the first three quarters, hopes that your offense can do something, and then just bails. That was, I guess, the same case here. Like, if you want to look at it from a macro level, that was the same case. But the bright spot for me was the feeling as a Bears fan wasn't as dire, wasn't as drastic, wasn't as, I guess, just morbid as it was last year when you knew that there was nothing that this team could do. They looked like a deer in the headlights out there last year. They had so many primetime games, and they just sucked on every single one of them, including the playoff game against the Saints. This year, you had Justin Fields come on the field in a Fields package, a few plays, yet three rushes for, I believe it was 5 yards. But he looked great. Like, he scored a touchdown. He had a rushing touchdown. And that, for me, was when you kind of got to be a head coach and be like, all right, listen, if we want to win this game, Justin Fields definitely gives us the best chance to win. Andy Dalton did a good job of kind of getting the ball downfield. Getting some drives going, not at the ball downfield. He did a terrible job with that, but I mean, it was like 7 yard passes, 6 yard passes, every single which way. He threw for a total of 206 yards on 27 of 38 and an interception. And it was just like his average completion was about like 7.2 yards. And that's just not going to get it done, especially against a formidable Rams team. But in general, if that's what you're comfortable with, you're not doing it for your receivers either. Like I said, David Montgomery had a great game. He went 16 for 108 and a touchdown. He had 6.8 yards per carry. So that's not anything to look over, because he's going to be the bright spot for this team going forward. It looks like he's going to be the bell cow running back. So if you picked him up in fantasy, good for you. Darnell Mooney, the big talk of Darnell Mooney versus Jalen Ramsey. Yeah, that was all put to bed. Darnell had like 5 catches for 26 yards. Nothing crazy. And the last point of the Bears is that this year, the schedule is brutal. Like, you play the NFC West and the AFC North, which are the two best divisions in football. Next week is the Bengals. We'll have a Bears preview later this week, but the Bengals just beat the Vikings, and the Vikings have a better defense, it looks like, or on paper, than the Bears do, especially in the secondary. And they, Joe Burrow looked great. He looked the part. He looked great. Jamar Chase looked great for all of the drops in the preseason and all of the downturn, the downward spiral his hype was getting. But he looked great. Let's jump into the good, the bad, and the ugly. Of course, you know we go back to my boys, the Cardinals-Titans game. The good, the bad, and the ugly. For the good, it is Kyler Murray, who looked phenomenal. But not only is it just Kyler Murray, it's this Cardinals team. They looked dominant. This game reminded me a lot of the game that Cleveland played against the Titans last year. Just a complete domination, except the Titans came back at the end of that game. This defense held the Titans to 13 points. They held Derrick Henry to 58 rush yards. They didn't let Ryan Tannehill do anything. Chandler Jones had 5 sacks. He had 2 forced fumbles. Isaiah Simmons had an interception. This defense looked great. The whole freaking first half to the first 3 quarters, I was just like so confused. I was like, when did this defense get so good? Kyler Murray, 21 for 32, 289 yards through the air, 4 touchdowns, a pick. But he also went 5 for 20 on the ground and had a rushing score. He's their goal line back yet again. But man, he was spreading the ball out. Rondale Moore, that rookie receiver, 4 for 89. He looked great. Christian Kirk looked great. AJ Green even looked good in the first quarter. DeAndre Hopkins and that Kyler connection might be the best tandem this year, especially because of what we're going to get into later. The bad for this week for me was Josh Allen of the Buffalo Bills. All that hype, the MVP train, and his first week against the Pittsburgh Steelers couldn't muster a thing. Had 1 touchdown, 16 points total, and he went 30 for 51, threw the ball 51 times for 270 yards and a touchdown. Crazy. And then you have the ugly. Oh, the Bills lost that game, by the way, if you couldn't tell. Against the Steelers, who didn't look that bad, to be honest. So we'll see. The AFC North's looking great. The uglies, Aaron Rodgers. Oof. Was this ugly? Was this? This. They lost 38-3. And 35 points is the largest deficit in the career of Aaron Rodgers. He went 15 of 28, 133 yards. When have you ever heard Aaron Rodgers throwing for 133 yards in a whole game? Let alone, like, usually he's throwing for that in a quarter. But a whole game, 2 terrible interceptions. So bad that they brought Jordan Love into this game. He went 5 for 7 for 58. So all of the NFC North teams lost. All of the AFC, or all of the AFC West and the NFC West teams won. So it kind of shows you the balance of power in the NFL division-wise. Jameis had a great game. He only threw for 148 yards, but had 5 touchdowns in what actually is the lowest output of yardage for a 5-touchdown game in NFL history, or since 1941, I believe, which is crazy. That's a crazy stat to me. He was launching the ball, to be honest. Like, his touchdown throws were impressive. He looked great out there. And I think that, you know what, the Saints' defense holding the Packers in check, Aaron Jones did nothing through the ground. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers did nothing through the air. The Saints' defense, if they're for real, I think Jameis can actually take this. Like, I was so down on the Saints this year. I think I had him going, like, 5-12 or something like that. And they are going to prove me wrong. After week one, that is my little overreaction. Not even an overreaction, because I really, truly believe that the Saints are going to prove me wrong. Then just a few highlights of the week I wanted to touch on. It's the Cleveland and Kansas City game. A great game. Some takeaways. One, Patrick Mahomes, inhuman. I think the craziest part about this is just being a Chiefs fan and knowing that you're never out of a game because you have number 10, number 15, and number 87 on the field. That is so crazy. They were down 22-10, came back. They were down 29-22, came back. And they played a great game. And, you know, props to them. And I'm like, there's a couple of things. This is obviously, like, this is my Baker Brown support. I actually like this loss a lot. I like this loss because I feel like, and Nick Wright said this on First Things First, on Fox Sports the other day. He said, if you have that win as the Cleveland Browns, you will feel like you are the best team in the league. And when you feel like you're the best, that hunger, that drive to be better, it gets erased because you already feel like you've achieved the mountain. This was not the Super Bowl for the Browns. I think the Browns will learn from this, will get better from it. Baker threw a terrible pick at the end of the game, even though he was tripped up. He was trying to throw the ball out of bounds instead of taking the sack, which I just don't agree with. Never is it okay to take a sack. Like that. Why is that now being used? He tried to throw the ball out of bounds. However, he got tripped up by, I think it was Chris Jones, if I'm not mistaken, or Nick Bolton, who played great. Nick Bolton, a great get for the Chiefs, by the way. But Anthony Schwartz, the speedster, huge role in this offense. I was surprised. Huge role in this offense. He had like 7 targets. He dropped a crucial one, but I'm thinking if that's Odell Beckham Jr., he's making that catch. And Odell Beckham was out of this game, so you're getting Odell back. You have that hunger. You have that, you know, punch in the face for the Chiefs just gave you from just stealing your win. And I think that'll bode well for them because I think the Chiefs and the Browns AFC Championship, I'm there for that. That's going to be a fun one. And Baker looked great. He threw for 321 yards. He had that pick at the end of the game. 4 rushing touchdowns for the Browns. They looked really good. They were aggressive. They were beating the Chiefs at the line of scrimmage. They had lost their safety, Ronnie Harrison, early due to the ejection, but they still bounced back. Their defense got torched at the end of the game, but they played well for the first 3 quarters. So, you know, it's all about the scheme that you want to play. Like the time of possession, the Browns owned that. However, after this, in the first half, they owned it. However, in the third quarter, the Chiefs, I think, gave the Browns the ball for like 32 seconds because they had a 10-minute drive to start the quarter. Then Nick Chubb fumbles immediately after they give the ball back, and then they ran out the quarter, which is insane because I don't remember a team having that little possession in a quarter. Elsewhere around the league, Russell Wilson looked great. He had 4 touchdowns. You had the debuts of Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson, kind of underwhelming. Both L's. Trevor Lawrence stymied by the Houston Texans defense. That's a huge disappointment from me. Zach Wilson, he had 2 garbage time touchdowns as of late in the game, in the fourth, to Corey Davis. I think with Mekhi Becton, however, an injury that takes him out 4 to 6 weeks. He sprained his MCL. That is a huge, huge, huge loss for this offensive line because that's really their only reliable offensive lineman, and he's out, and I think that offensive line is going to continue to struggle now going into the next week against the Patriots. Jalen Hurts of the Eagles, I know it was the Falcons defense, so I'm trying to temper expectations, to temper hype, but he looked great. He looked absolutely phenomenal. He torched the Atlanta Falcons defense. That was great to see. You had a great game in Washington. Ryan Fitzpatrick had a hip subluxation. He is out for at least 7 to 8 weeks. And that is opening the door for Taylor Heinicke to come in. However, they did not play too well against the Los Angeles Chargers, who have, like I mentioned before, that defense is going to come and show up this year. They have Kenneth Murray. They have Joey Bosa. Derwin James, it's great to see Derwin back out on the field. So he had 6 tackles in his return from ACL injury last year. Asante Samuel Jr. looked great in his debut. So this defense is really exciting. Justin Herbert didn't look great, but again, Washington defense, I'm not too worried about that. He's going to bounce back. He had a great rookie year. So hope for the bounce back there. Now I want to touch on something funny that happened today. It was the Matt Nagy press conference, and one of the huge issues with the Bears was the fact that you had a sense that if Justin Fields was inputted in that second half, they could have won that game. I really, really feel that. Also, with the Bears, there is a sense of, and they had this last year, just missed tackles, like all around. Eddie Jackson, the demise of Eddie Jackson is so fruitful. It is there. It is real. To see him on the play, I believe it was to Cooper Kupp on a 3rd and 12 and late in the fourth quarter when you need to stop. It was just like, what are you doing? How do you miss a tackle like that? And then there was like 3 missed tackles afterwards. And it's just infectious when the defense is playing bad, when the secondary can't tackle, everyone can't tackle. And Matt Nagy today was asked, what does Andy Dalton give you at this point that Justin Fields is not? And listen to this answer. Well, that's a good question. I understand it. Without getting into comparisons, I thought Andy did a good job putting us in good situations. And it's a whole bunch of nothing right there, because Justin Fields, first of all, Andy Dalton, 7 yards per completion. That's his average completion was 7 yards, and he didn't throw the ball downfield at all. David Montgomery put you in most of those situations with his running, with his elusiveness, with his, you know, kind of just aura. It really helped out a lot. And with Justin Fields in there, that gives you that added bonus, because not only is your offensive line banged up, so that Andy Dalton, with an offensive line that's banged up, is going to get destroyed all game. But Justin Fields can get out of the pocket. He can compensate for that lack of talent on the offensive line. David Montgomery would benefit in the read option game, in the zone game, with Justin Fields sitting in the pocket as a threat to run the ball. Allen Robinson will also be a factor better, because Justin Fields can draw in a defense, and, you know, there's not going to be that safety over the top to defend against Robinson, who got blanketed basically all game. So look to the preview later this week for the Bears and the Bengals. It's going to be a tough one, because look, Joe Burrow, like I said, looked great against the Vikings. That missed tackling has to get cleaned up in practice, and hopefully we see that later this week. Let's hope for some reports out of practice as well that have a better deal on that. Maybe we get a better idea of the Jason Peters and Larry Borum injuries as well. All right, that's all for today's show. We thank you so much for listening. We'll be back later this week. And week two, looking at it. Great week one. Super excited. Find us at 23's and Mike on Instagram. Look for my quarterback rankings tomorrow. It's going to be quite contentious. We'll go over that and more on the preview episode later this week. But for Nadim, I am Nadim. For me and the studio at 23's and Mike headquarters, we wish you a best of luck and a great rest of your day. Love you guys.